This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI,
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Oh, man, it is a warm night in Chicago. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and I am your host, Patty Vasquez. We'll be here till 1 o'clock until Nick D takes over the station. And we're hanging out with Vivian, who's producing this evening. Hello, Vivian.
Hello, hello. Good evening, everyone.
Hello. Did you notice tonight that people in downtown Chicago had a little extra spring in their step?
Yeah, and they were smiling.
Yes. I saw one guy with a winter coat wearing it.
Oh,
not trusting the weather. Yesterday it was 43 degrees downtown Chicago. Tonight it's like in the 70s. It was 80 all day. My husband cranked up the air conditioner. Come on. What you do is you trap the air from yesterday and live off of that for a day. Could you just... Well, that's how it is. Your mic's not on, John. We're going to talk to you later. Hold on a second. John Culver's like, it's
awkward.
65.
Well, nothing relevant to say.
All right, then. Time for we'll get to you in a moment, Mr. Attorney.
And love is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. And love can't make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and
we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We have Vivian Leneux behind the glass tonight. We're running. I love that.
Isn't that a good song?
That is a very good
song. That was a song for today's weather.
It was good. Well, now it's a little stormy, but we'll take it. Do you have plans for the Memorial Day weekend, Vivian?
Well, it's raining. I wanted to go boating.
Yeah.
But that's not going to really work out now.
Where do you go boating?
Montrose Harbor.
I mean, you have a boat?
Family, yeah.
You know what that reminds me?
My dad used to be a captain in the Navy in Greece.
What?
So we were all in boats and the sea and the lake now. It's a fun thing to do.
I love that.
Yeah.
The only way I've ever sailed on my own was a little tiny sunfish sailboat. Just a little two or three man boat. Dr. Tynus, you're nodding as though you've been on a little sunfish. Were you in Girl Scout camp?
No, but I had friends who were sailors.
Sailors.
Oh, so much fun. So much fun.
I love sailing.
Yeah.
I'm a little reckless, though. My friends didn't. Well, because I like to catch that wind. I like to feel that sail and just, you know, pull in that rope and just take off.
I've tipped over a couple of times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In Girl Scout camp, you had to take a tippy test. You had to be able to right your boat. So if in order to be on the lake in any sort of boat, in a rowboat, a canoe, a sailboat, you had to take the boat out, tip it over, and be able to get it back up. But you also had to be able to have your boat filled with water and still be able to get it back to the shore. And on a sailboat, they would have us tip it over. And first you get it back up, but you use the dagger board. There's a dagger board that you get on and you push the boat. You have to either use your weight or if you've, you know, kind of pull it. I used to have to stand on it because I was little at the time, but I had to stand on it and pull the boat back up. And but then they would do it where you had to, the boat would be completely flipped over with the sail
down,
submerged, and that was hard because you had to be on top of the boat and try to use your body to flip it back up. And we have on the line with us one of our favorite callers. Is this Jasmine? Jasmine's on the line to tell us about something very important. Hi, Jasmine. How are you doing tonight? I'm in studio, Jasmine, by the way, with Dr. Kathy Tynus from Northwestern Medicine and attorney John Culver, who's joining us tonight as well for great conversation. And you wanted to share something with us. What do you want to say, Jasmine?
Well, today is National Maritime Day, United States National Maritime Day. And it's a day that celebrates and honors all the commercial sailors that are out on the sea or have been out on the sea before. So people in cargo ships, cruise ships, Navy ships, all the ships. And I just wanted to just let everybody know if you see... give them a little nod, give them some respect, because it's for those men and women to go out at sea, leave their family for weeks, sometimes months on end, and work on these big dangerous ships.
Have you spoken to anybody who works in commercial boating?
Not on cargo ships, but I know a captain at Navy Pier who drives the Spirit of Chicago.
Oh, cool.
If that counts.
It does. Of course it does. I love the boats that go out on Lake Michigan. Do you? I know you've gone on the Odyssey. Which ones have you gone out on?
I just went on Spirit so far.
The Spirit.
But this Saturday, me and my friend Sarah are going on the tall ship Windy for a sailing cruise.
Ooh, that's wonderful.
That's nice.
I like that. Now, when you, because you're studying boating as well, right, Jasmine?
With community college first, and then hopefully I'll go to a school in Boston to really get learn about ships. But yes.
And what?
I study ships for fun.
Well, you want to study ships for real. And this has been, you've told us about this about 2 years ago, that this is one of your dreams. And how do they, you know, what kind of adaptations do you have to make as somebody who's visually impaired when you are learning some of the skills? Or what have they told you to anticipate to get into sort of the right frame of mind to be ready?
Well, a lot of my teachers, especially in high school, were telling me that it might be very hard to get a cruise ship job because, you know, they have to move around a lot. They have to deal with passengers. They have to do a lot of safety stuff, like lowering lifeboats and things like that. And I understand that could probably be an issue for me since I'm visually impaired, but I feel like if I'm willing to learn, which I am, I feel like I could handle it. I just need the training.
I agree. You can do anything. I find it hard to believe it. There have to be other captains of ships and folks that work on the ships that are, you know, that overcome what people told them, whatever that, you know, that might be, that they couldn't do it or might not be able to. And I love hearing the confidence in your voice that's your goal.
Oh, and I don't know if you got my message earlier, but would you be interested in going sailing with me? Like, I don't know how much of a daytime person you are, but lessons at Burnham Harbor start on June 5th. It's for the Judd Goldman's Adaptive Sailing Program.
Uh-huh.
And even though it's for people with disabilities,
Yes.
You can even get your son involved if you wanted to.
I'm going
to
go with you first, and then we'll figure the rest of that out. But yes. I mean, Declan loves the water. The problem with Declan is he would want to get into the water. We have to be, you know, I would have to check it out and see what the mechanics of it are. Yes, I'm in. Let's do it. So you were saying that, so this is at Burnham Harbor. There are lessons for people with disabilities. Is there a website in case someone wants to find out if there are any spots left? Do you happen to know?
I can message you the link if you want it.
Please, yeah.
But if anyone wants to look it up, just Google Judd Goldman Adaptive Sailing Foundation.
That's wonderful.
It should pop up.
And how often are the classes?
You can schedule them yourself.
Oh, that's
it. Just depends on, you know, when they have spots open.
Have you been on any of the? I don't know if you heard me before you called talking about the sunfish I used to sail when I was in Girl Scout camp. Have you been on any of those little sailboats?
No, I've only sailed 23 to 26 footers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow!
So
big boats. Yeah.
I want to eventually graduate to bigger boats, like the ones that are so big they have a cabin in them.
What drew you to sailing, Jasmine? To boating?
Just boating in general?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Is it the feel of it? Is it the freedom? The wind on your face?
I think it's. Well, I used to go to Navy Pier a lot with my mom, with my great grandmother. And we'd look at some of the dinner ships, and as a kid, I thought it was cool. Then I went sailing with a summer camp called Pathways.
Yep.
And that was one of the best experiences of my life because it feels amazing. And in case you're wondering, I don't get sick.
Oh, good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Actually, if you don't mind me sharing real quick, I might have mentioned in November I'm going on my first cruise.
Okay.
So my plan is to try and impress the crew members with my knowledge of ships.
Excellent.
And see what happens.
I hope you dazzle them, Jasmine. We'll have to keep up on that. And I look forward to going sailing with you this summer.
All right, I'll message you the link before I go to sleep.
Excellent. I appreciate that, Jasmine. Sweet dreams. Get some rest.
Yes.
Keep the radio down low so you don't bother anybody else, but we'll be here. Thank you, Jasmine.
And good night.
And hopefully we'll talk to you on Friday night for our finally Friday panel.
I'm taking a news break after last Friday.
Uh-oh, what happened?
It was the Bills in Georgia, Alabama, Missouri.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a long...
Yep. Have a good rest of your night.
You as well. Thank you, Jasmine. We'll talk to you again on whenever you get a chance. But I look forward to getting that link, and I will share it on the Patty V Show page. Good night, Jasmine. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back, continue our conversation. You can join us, too, 312-981-7200. That is the number to reach us by phone or by texting, and we encourage you to join the conversation. And by join the conversation, I mean join the conversation. Don't yell stuff at us. I mean, you know what I mean. Or Vivian, either. More in a moment on
Thanks,
70.
Patty.
You're welcome. More in a moment. I can only ask. That's all I got. I got no powers beyond that, Jeff. Vivian, just so you know. More in a moment. The 773 says it's raining in Worth as well, kind of messing up Vasquez in the backyard. What am I doing in the backyard? Oh, I know, they're listening to the show in the backyard. Oh, because I wanted to sit outside and listen to under the stars.
Aww.
And the reason I brought up something was because there's a listener that used to call in to play What's in the Box on Friday nights from their backyard. They would walk their dog or be outside, and they would call in to play What's in the Box. And I realized that Vivian and my guests in studio, maybe a lot of listeners, not familiar, a few years ago, I used to have a game called What's in the Box. And we're going to talk about it after 12:30 because so I'll tease you on that.
You teased us.
Yes, I teased you. So, because it's Wellness Wednesday, I got to focus.
Wait for the kids to go to bed.
Well, that was, I mean, instead of what's that from, we would play What's in the Box. That's how we used to do Friday nights. So we also had whiskey and a cookie. A lot of things, you know, you evolve, you change a little bit.
It's a nice combination.
We do it live on stage sometimes. But anyway, I, you know what, just go ahead and mark that. I'm just going to mark myself for out of context for Nick D. We do it on stage sometimes. I think that, what does she do on stage sometimes? I am so excited to have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern. And we have a lot to talk about. And we actually teased, one of the things that we've been teasing all day are folks who Google their symptoms. John, now that you're married to a doctor, do you still Google your symptoms, or do you go, hey, what's this? Does this look like something to you? I got a little thing in the back of my throat.
No, I Google my symptoms.
Yeah.
Certainly. And actually, it's wonderful to have somebody who knows what's going on, but I'm fortunately mostly healthy. So,
okay.
But
good.
What's this lump? It's like, right. That's your nose.
You have provided us with some great websites where folks can turn for vetted information. Tell us a little bit about medicine, MedlinePlus.gov, and well, we'll talk about that one first.
So that one is formulated from the National Library of Medicine, and it includes only sources of information that have been vetted. So these are reliable, truthful sources of information about medical topics that you can search on. And there's different sources. If you have a topic that you want to learn about, you want to learn about headaches, you might get articles that come up from Mayo Clinic and articles that come up from the American Academy of Family Physicians, etc. So there's all kinds of different sources. You can search in different languages. So it's vetted. It's your most reliable source of medical information, MedlinePlus.gov, G-O-V.
There you go. I like that because I think people, when they're scared, they want to go someplace, and Googling just takes you in so many different directions, and you end up...
Oh, yeah. I see that every day.
Yeah, I know. I know. So I get
sometimes,
it.
Sometimes, but you know, honestly, it's a mixed bag. Sometimes people will Google something and really go off on a tangent and become, you know, just become very, very frightened. And, you know, that's when it's not a good thing, because people scare themselves and they end up getting physically and mentally ill over their fear.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate. So, you know, a little knowledge can be dangerous. But on the other hand, I've had people come in and describe their symptoms to me and tell me what they think they have. And then I'll examine them and I'll be like, yeah, you're exactly right. Good job. So... I'm still not going to give you an MD yet, but
right.
You did a good job. So
good investigative work.
Yeah, you know, Google is not a medical school, but you know, it can be helpful.
It can be, you know, it's not your primary source, but it's something where if you want to find something, the kernels of what you need, but get the whole picture from your doctor.
And sometimes people will take something maybe a little more seriously than they might have otherwise, which is a good thing. So if they come and get something checked out and it actually needed to be checked out, that's a good thing too. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I have a hard time talking some people off the ledge sometimes when they over Google.
Yeah. It's easy to get sucked into that rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
And then this, and then this. I want to talk, of course, about the rapidly growing number of cases in the United States of measles, the biggest number of measles cases we've had since 1994, mm-hmm. when we basically thought we had eradicated measles in the United States. There are, of course, communities throughout the country where, you know, moms have decided, parents have decided that they, whether it's for, they'll say it's religious reasons, personal beliefs. A lot of times it's based on information that they Googled or saw Jenny McCarthy talking about how her son got, you know, whatever it is that, it's not true.
There's a lot of people out there spreading misinformation about vaccines. Mm-hmm. And creating fear, and parents are doing what they think is the right thing for their children. And so their sources of information, unfortunately, are flawed. And most people, once they're given some accurate data and some real resources of information, you know, typically you're able to sway their decision making. But unfortunately, a lot of these communities are in a vacuum. They're very close-knit communities, sometimes whether they're ethnic or religious-based or whatever. And so they're not really getting a lot of outside sources of information. So they get one source of information, they get tangled up in all that misinformation, and they act based on fear. They act based on, you know, what they think is best for their child, and it's understandable. But unfortunately, it's created a situation where there's a lot of danger out there for people. And, you know, these vaccines only work through herd immunity. And that's where a critical number of people around you have already been vaccinated and they're immune to the disease. So the disease is not able to spread. But once that herd immunity wanes, then it's able to take hold and become an epidemic.
And how vulnerable? I've read recently that it's possible that maybe people in my generation might need to get another measles shot.
So people who were born between 1963 and 1967.
Not me then.
The vaccine. So
me.
My husband and I both fall in that category.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. He falls into it more than I do.
Okay then.
Can't get up.
So there was a less effective version of the vaccine then. So all of us within that cohort should have gotten a booster. I recall that I got a booster. I would think that through the course of your medical care, you got a booster.
Somewhere, I would think. I hope.
But everybody else, so anyone who was born between before 1957 is assumed to be immune, just because of the prevalence of the disease back then. And then we started vaccinating people, and then now anyone beyond, you know, the birth year of 1967 is this also assumed to be immune if they've gotten two doses of the vaccine. However, I do have patients who are concerned. They may be traveling. They might be going to an endemic area. And so what we've been recommending is that people get their antibody level tested.
Oh.
And then if your antibody's positive, you're good to go. You're immune. And if your antibody's negative, you should get the series of two shots given 28 days or more apart. And you're good to go. So so for people who are concerned, for people who are going to be traveling places where there are outbreaks, I think it's very reasonable to go ahead and get your immunity checked. We're a little concerned that we may run out of the vaccine. So now that there's all this additional concern, people are requesting to get boosters. And I think it's probably a more rational approach to see if you actually need a booster or need to be revaccinated.
It makes sense. Will the test for antibodies determine whether or not you might need other shots?
I mean, it's specific just to measles. So sometimes people who are healthcare workers, for example, we typically do a panel. So measles, mumps, rubella. Because those are vaccine preventable, and healthcare workers, it's important that they demonstrate immunity.
Of course. Yes, John?
I was just going to say, for you hipsters, the biggest outbreak in the country right now is in Brooklyn.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, because a lot of Hasidic Jews live there, mm-hmm. and they're not vaccinated.
Okay.
So you talk about herd immunity, they completely lack it. That's why an awful lot of people in a concentrated area, unvaccinated, have spread the disease around.
And there are some, I know that there are some states that are moving legislation through to remove the opting out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple years ago in Springfield, they were trying to expand the ability of folks to abstain from having
right.
their children vaccinated.
For conscientious reasons, right?
Right.
Not necessarily religious. And I don't think there's really any major religion that prevents you or recommends against vaccines.
I don't remember that being in the Bible.
Yeah, no.
I don't know where.
No.
I mean, or any other text.
No.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that vaccines are safe and that they work. And the illness of measles is not something to be trifled with. It is highly contagious. You could share an elevator with somebody who has the measles and get it. You can be in the same room that someone who has the measles has been in and catch it. So, you know, the virus can last for a while on fomites, that's surfaces that people touch, or you can get it in respiratory droplets. So it's very contagious, and people can die from it. People can have long-term neurologic damage from it. So it's nothing to be trifled with. It's better to prevent it than to have it.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, if you are vaccinated and you are in an elevator with somebody, you might be carrying something with you that then can be transmitted to somebody who hasn't been vaccinated. Is that possible?
I don't know if that's a little bit of a stretch. Certainly, if you have direct contact with the person or with their secretions or with
if they cough on you,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
don't do that. Don't cough on anybody.
I don't think
do
you
the vampire
go from
cough.
Person to person though. A third party's probably okay.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's probably okay.
Because I don't want to. That's why I want to understand correctly.
Yeah.
I just want to understand. I want to make sure everybody does understand. The most important part of this is vaccinations are safe
mm-hmm.
and they work.
Absolutely.
That's why we don't have polio. That's why we don't have the measles.
Right.
I got the mumps when I was in high school.
Oh, my God. I had it, too. It was awful. Oh, it was so painful. I remember crying to my mother, asking her to give me some pain medicine. It was just awful.
It was
awful,
miserable.
Awful.
Our conversation with Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her on Twitter at ktynes, T-Y-N-U-S. If you want more information about the Illinois State Medical Society, go to ISM, as in Mary, or medical, S.org, ISMS.org. Yes?
Can I, one more thing. So our medical society has actually sent out a PSA to all the radio stations. I hope WGN picks it up, and it's promoting vaccinations. So look for or listen for PSAs from ISMS.
There you go. And we also have in studio with us John Culver, attorney at law, practicing personal injury and product liability law. More conversation when we come back on 720 WGN. Can't play music that's going to make us all happy and dancing here. And I forgot to
turn the microphone
on.
It's Wellness Wednesday, though. Come on,
it's all good. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. It's Wellness Wednesday. Joining me in studio is Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern, and John Culver, attorney at law, practicing personal injury and product liability law. And I hope to never make a product that is liable for anything.
Like a toaster.
Don't I have a toaster. Well, we'll talk about toasters in a little bit. I do want to talk about, you actually, this is something that happened in your home. Dr. Tynes was telling me that you had your water tested for lead. I didn't realize that the city of Chicago was, where can people find out about having their water tested and tell us what happened, John?
So you can go to the city of Chicago website. They will offer free testing kits. They'll come to your home. You got to make an appointment. You're better off getting a kit. It's simple. It's three plastic bottles. You don't run your water for at least 6 hours, so you don't run your water overnight. And then you run it you draw water right out.
Uh-huh.
You draw water after, I think, 90 seconds or 2 minutes or something, in like 5 minutes. And then you package it up. I put it on my front porch. They came and picked it up. And I got the results within 30 days. They ended up sending me a filter with a pitcher. But I had trace of lead when my water hadn't been running for my test. It hadn't run for like a couple of days. I had been out of town and nobody was in the house. But the thing is, I have a lead line between the street and my house. My house is 120 years old almost. And that while they replaced the lines out in the street in 1999, they did not replace any of the lines from the main to my house. And they haven't done that for anybody. Now, in other cities, they do that. It's exceedingly expensive. But Chicago made the command decision to not do that. And this is something that Rahm refused to deal with. And this is something on Lori Lightfoot's, on her plate. They've got to deal with lead lines in particular. I mean, it's not just lead pipes in your house. It's the pipe between my my house and the street. And I'd have to dig up my yard, and they won't pay for it. It's at least $5,000.
And what?
This is almost every house in the city that was built. All the bungalows, everything they talk about.
Our house was built in 1926.
Yes. And plus, they use lead pipe until 1986. For some reason, the plumbers union insisted upon it. They've been using plastic pipes ever since, but there's a ton of lead. And lead is all bad. Kathy can address
this. Yes, I was going to say.
You don't recover from it. It causes neurological damage. It's particularly harmful to children as well as old people. But it lowers your IQ and it never goes back up.
Well, and that's one of the things we mentioned earlier when I started going down the list of things. What could have happened with Declan? And I have thought, like, what if it was the water in our house?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never know. But what are some of the dangers of lead in our water? In general?
So JC actually, he hit the nail on the head. So there's no safe level of lead in the body. And so it's even small amounts can cause harm to brain development. So the effects in the body are not reversible, and lead can be stored in the body for many years. So once you have it, it's hard to get rid of it. So it's the most common yet preventable environmental health hazard that can affect a family regardless of race or socioeconomic status. And Illinois ranks as one of the highest states in the nation for childhood lead poisoning. And possible sources come from lead paint in homes that were built before 1978, the drinking water, items that are made outside the U.S., in particular folk medicines and spices can sometimes have lead as an ingredient, and family members who have hobbies or occupations that expose them to lead, such as like buckshot and I don't know what other hobbies expose you to lead.
Bullet smelling.
Bullets. Stop smelling your bullets.
Oh my goodness. So yeah,
can't stress it enough.
So yeah, so kids are exposed to lead. They have academic difficulties. They can have, problems with emotional control. It really leads to a lot of long term detrimental effects for the kids. So I definitely get your water tested. A safe rule of thumb is let your water run for a while before you get a glass of water.
That was one of the recommendations. They said in the morning when you get up, let it run at least 30 seconds, and that's fine. But it's not, and you can't boil it out. So it's not like, I'll just fill a pot of coffee and make that. It doesn't boil out. Lead is a heavy metal, and it gets in you and it stays there.
Here you go. Lead smelter work, auto repair, precious metal refining, construction, particularly remodeling or renovating, abatement work, battery manufacturing or recycling, radiator repair, ceramics, furniture refinishing, stained glass work, art restoration. If you use lead sinkers when you're fishing and indoor target practice or bullet making, as you mentioned. Let's take a break here. More after the news on 720. Well, we'll take a break and then the news. We'll talk. And now the phone lines are lighting up. Uh-oh. What did I say? What did I say? You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. It's Wellness Wednesday, and we are in the Allstate Skyline studio with Dr. Kathy Tynes, who's the immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow Dr. Kathy Tynes at ktynes, that's ktynus on Twitter. And if you want to know more about the Illinois State Medical Society, you can go to ISMS.org. John Culver joins us, attorney at law, practicing personal injury and product liability law. I might have you go offline with our listener who wants to talk about Democrats being responsible for the lead poisoning in cities like Chicago, and then they want to go into things about the Democrat that was in charge of Flint, and there's too much there. And then Joe
and sunspots.
And sunspots. I can't, because we got Joe on the line. Oh, You're on your landline, Joe. How are you doing?
Oh, you detected that? This was a test, kiddo.
Yeah. Whatever. I can tell. Are you on your landline?
Yeah.
All right, then.
No echo?
It's more subtle. This isn't it? Wouldn't you say, Vivian, it's not as bad as usual?
Not as bad.
No.
Maybe you guys are working on it. Hey, I'd like to discuss a commercial and then a question about a refrigerator. This is on 2, 5, and 7. I think on average maybe 5 to 10 to 12 times a day. The girl's going to college, and she's sitting at a counter in the kitchen, and her dad's giving her a new water filter. I forget the name of that one, but she says, "Oh, no, Dad." She pushes it away, and she points to a zero water filter.
Okay.
She puts a little dipstick in there and a litmus paper, and she says, "Look at your water. Look at my water." Okay? And her water is, lo and behold, zero. His is, gee, 20 or 30 parts per million of stuff you don't want in there. My first response is, gee whiz, is your dad paying for your college or are you paying for it? You're going away, and you're taking a real good thing, and you're leaving him with a bad water filter. So that, the irony is there. Okay.
She's in the will.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So his comment is, I got to find the receipt. And she says, yeah, you should find the receipt. But irony aside, I've got an ice maker and water maker in my fridge, if you will. My question is, what's the effectiveness of that filter for ice cubes and water? I know that, you know, getting a water tested is the ultimate. That's the, you know, paramount way to do it. But your comment or opinion on effectiveness of water filters for ice makers and water dispensers.
What do you think about that as far as, I mean, freezing it doesn't make it safer?
No.
And do you think filters are alleviate?
I believe the modern filters on your refrigerators are probably about as good as the filter that they sent you in the mail for use in your home. So I think they're pretty comparable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always a good idea to waste some of that water first before you drink it. And if you have any doubts, go ahead and get it tested. Why not?
Yeah, I that's the paramount, I guess. But that's encouraging to say that you think, as I do, we replace it every 6 months, just like clockwork, if you will. Just like your air cleaner for your furnace, if you will. And I think the water tastes, you know, excellent. But as I said, the paramount is probably getting it tested, you know, so forth.
The hard part is remembering to replace the filter, right?
It says 6 months.
Yeah, wow. So you got to mark your calendar.
That's right.
There you go. All right, thanks, kiddos.
All right, thanks, Joe. Have a good night. Oh, kiddos. Bye, pumpkin. See you later. It's been a while since you called me kiddo. Thank you for that.
You bet.
All right, take care. That's our listener, Joe, and we are talking about how to stay healthy, some health issues as well. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and one of the things that's in the news today that I was so happy to hear about is that starting with, I believe, the next class of cadets that are being trained at the Chicago Police Academy, they're going to incorporate training for police to be able to work with someone who might be schizophrenic. It's weird when you hear them put, say, schizophrenic or autistic. But I do understand. I mean, with Declan, he doesn't understand instructions, or if you told him to get down. I mean, there have been fatalities, not only in Chicago, but of course around the world. We know in other states that people, there was a caregiver that was shot in Florida. He survived, but there was a young man here who was shot because he didn't follow the instructions of a police officer.
Yeah, so I think that's wonderful. Yeah. Unfortunately, police often are on the front lines of dealing with people who are having mental health issues. And of course, they should be trained in how to handle that situation and just have a better awareness and understanding that people may not be responding to you, not because they willfully don't want to. It's because they don't understand, or they're not sure what you want, or they're scared.
And how do you make that split second decision of deciding whether or not someone's a threat to you?
Right. And assuming they are, and you have to do something about it, shooting to kill is still a problem. You can certainly slow somebody down with a bullet without killing them.
Well, once the law enforcement uses deadly force, I mean, that's they don't shoot to wing somebody. That's not how they're trained.
How about a taser?
There you go. So, I mean, I don't know. But, but you know, God forbid, because Declan, you know, is prone to just wander off. And we do everything we can. We have all kinds of, you know, protocol in place to keep him as safe as we possibly can. But we can't account for every single moment. There's, you know, it's happening.
Absolutely.
So
in Illinois, about 3.2% of adults have a serious mental health condition, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and major depression. And less than half of adults with mental illness, in Illinois at least, receive any form of treatment from either the public system or private providers. So that means that majority of them actually have no mental health treatment. Illinois is ranked 15th out of the 50 states in Washington, D.C. for providing access to mental health services. And, you know, this is a problem, as we spoke about. People on the front lines deal with it every day. So law enforcement, but also emergency rooms. And last week, I met with a colleague who recently served as president of the Illinois Emergency Physician Group. And we talked in detail about how difficult it is taking care of patients in an emergency department who have psychiatric issues and who don't have access to care. So those patients end up being boarders, is what they call them, in the emergency department, until they can either find resources for them or until their situation de-escalates and they're safe to go home. And it's a real problem because those patients are taking up space that other patients with acute illnesses need. And it's a never-ending cycle. Just borders occur in emergency departments every single day. So it's going to be a big issue to tackle within our state of Illinois and within the city of Chicago. We've got two new administrators, our new governor and our new mayor, hopefully will pay some attention and hopefully bring more resources and make them available to people who need them.
Right, because a lot of the communities have suffered. I mean, you know, we know that Sheriff Dart has said that Cook County, you know, that our prisons are filled with more people who need mental health help mm-hmm. rather than incarceration.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. That's really sad. So they're being warehoused in mm-hmm. prisons rather than being treated.
And that's something we'll continue to focus on. So thank you for letting us know that it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it is, there's such a stigma attached to talking about mental health, and you know there are things along the way that, you know, there are interventions or seeking help, but a lot of people just think, well, it doesn't help when you have, we'll just take a pill or just walk it off, or there's this world of we'll just do this until you get to a point where it's maybe too late in some situations.
Well, and We're actually seeing this creep into the medical profession as well. So there's an epidemic of physician burnout. That's a higher rate of burnout, higher rate of depression, higher rate of suicide than the general public, or in people who are white collar professionals. So we're seeing almost 400 physicians per year commit suicide, which is like an entire medical school class. It's a huge number. And, you know, the AMA and a lot of medical groups are trying to find ways to address it. And it's probably more of a system-wide issue than we realize. So there's a lot of stress in becoming a physician. There's a lot of stress in dealing with other people's problems. And unfortunately, and this is a similar behavior we see in our patients as well, there's a lack of reaching out to get help. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, people are afraid of the stigma. They're afraid of, you know, just the fear of having a diagnosis and fear of being stigmatized or being shunned by your colleagues. So, you know, having access, providing it proactively is important. I think it has to happen in schools. It has to happen in all kinds of situations so that we can support people to get the help that they need.
Wonderful. Let's continue our conversation. Again, we are talking to Dr. Kathy Tynes, the immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern, John Culver, attorney at law, practicing personal injury and product liability law. You can follow Dr. Kathy Tynes on Twitter at @ktynes. And if you want more information about the Illinois State Medical Society, go to isms.org. A listener was asking about that website we mentioned earlier. Rather than Googling your symptoms, you can go to medline.com. plus.gov. That's med lineplus.gov. More conversation when we continue in a moment. You can also call or text us right now if you have any questions or comments. I don't know why, I don't know what it is about this Thursday night, but there are some folks that are cantankerous on this Twitter screen. But for once, Donald and I agreed on one thing, which is that when an officer uses their weapon, it's deadly force and you shoot to kill. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Wellness Wednesday. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining us is Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern. And John Culver, attorney at law, practicing personal injury and product liability. We've talked about a lot of very important topics. We also want to talk about those who perhaps can't afford their health care, including one of the conversations we had recently was about people who are battling diabetes and are choosing their food, their rent over their insulin. And you've given out some really important information in the past on this. Tell us a little bit about that first, and then we'll talk about poverty and healthcare.
Sure. So the cost of insulin has almost quadrupled in the last 10 years. And it's really frustrating as a physician to know that my patients are having a much more difficult time accessing and getting the insulin that they need. This is, you know, I really don't understand how this is allowed to happen, because this is a life and death medication. People cannot live without their insulin. So insulin is one example, but there's a lot of examples of where poverty negatively impacts your health, not just due to lack of health insurance, but I personally have seen patients missing their medical appointments because they have trouble. They're having struggle in their own life or in their parents' life. They're a caregiver for their parent. They can't find someone to watch their parent while they go away, or maybe they can't actually get to my office. They lack transportation. So it's really sad. So, you know, again, lack of insurance is an issue. But even with low cost or no cost options, people can't even afford that. And so often what happens is something that starts out as a minor condition turns into a major problem because patients delay seeing their doctor due to cost. So in rural areas, we're seeing it being especially problematic. A recent NPR poll found that a substantial number, 40% of rural Americans, struggle with routine medical bills, food, and housing. Half say that they could not afford to pay an unexpected $1,000 expense of any type. So think about how often something breaks down in your home and it costs $1,000 to repair it or to replace it.
You get T-boned out in the street.
Yeah.
Your insurance, you have a deductible.
Right.
That's awfully close to the bottom dropping out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And about one quarter said that they've not been able to get health care when they needed it at some point within their recent past. And of those who are not able to get health care when they need it, the poll found that 45% couldn't afford it. 23% said that the healthcare location was too far from their home or too difficult to get to. And 22% said they could not get an appointment during the hours that they needed. So they have to be at work. If they don't go to work, they don't get paid. So having access to a physician after hours sometimes is not available, and that prevents them from getting their care.
And when you're making those choices, it can turn out to be catastrophic if you aren't able to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
It's that sort of weird push and pull, because if you don't take care of something, you might not be able to go to work. And then
right.
It's a sort of vicious cycle.
It is. And I've seen it happen, unfortunately, with my own patients.
And the website, I want to remind people who are looking for help when it comes to buying their insulin.
Yep. Insulinhelp.org.
Insulinhelp.org.
Yep. It's from the American Diabetes Association. So it's a warehouse of all the different patient assistance programs that are available to help people get their insulin, and also resources for low-cost insulin.
I also, we'll talk to you again. I know that I love that you come in every month. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're so generous with your time and these Wellness Wednesday conversations. I know that you've helped a lot of people along the way, and I appreciate that, and so do our listeners. I also, next month we'll talk more about heading into the summer months. I know that some folks, maybe not so much over the Memorial Day weekend. I just want to remind everybody to just, there's a lot of folks that are fighting stress, and sometimes when you're either, around a big party and, you're eating a lot and drinking a lot, just, pay attention. There's going to be a lot of people on the roads this weekend. They said it's going to be like a record-breaking number, I think, of people traveling. So be careful this weekend when you have so many different choices when it comes to getting a ride home, things like that.
Yeah, nowadays, there's Uber, there's, all kinds of different choices. Just having a designated driver is wonderful, is life-saving. I now have a a 17-year-old son. And I have a built-in designated driver.
So you have, can you come pick mom up? Mom's had a couple too many.
He doesn't have his license yet, so I'm looking forward to that day. But, you know, if we're somewhere together, I can have an extra glass of wine, maybe, and he can drive me home. So.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Because he's going to be 16 in September. So I'm just trying to. Both of you have teenagers. What is that? What was that like for you when they started getting their driver's licenses?
I have three teenagers, and none of them do.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I got mine on my 16th birthday. I couldn't wait. But they live in the city.
And they don't care?
And they can take the L, and they take Ubers when necessary.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to buy them a car.
Right.
But get your driver's license and learn how to drive a stick.
Oh, that's...
Kathy drives a stick. And her kids have learned on it, and my kids need to.
I'm trying.
In extremis, sometimes somebody can't drive a stick. You know, one out of five people, be the one.
I could drive a stick.
So can I.
It had been a long time. I was giving Representative Sarah Feigenholz a ride home. Well, no, I'm sorry. Let me put that. She was giving me a ride home. She messaged me and she goes, "Can you drive a stick?" And she goes, "Sometimes I get tired on the way home. I might want to have you take over." And I, in my confidence that Representative Sarah Feigenholz would not get tired, I was like, "Yeah, sure." I do know how to drive stick. It just may have been a long time.
It's a little herky jerky then.
Oh, just at first.
She woke up.
No, it was just like that first, because it's beyond just the stick. It's also someone else's car.
Right.
I might have also, you know, paused had it been,
sure.
You know, trying to find the gear shift and things like that.
And learning, you know, the clutch. Yeah. You know, that takes a little while to get adjusted.
I was fine. As soon as I got in a second, everything came back to me. It is muscle memory.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
But
you know the words of wisdom. If you can't find them, grind them.
No. But there is something masterful. It feels great when you have that, when you can drive a stick and just, you know.
Oh, my son wants my car. He loves it. This is the coolest car.
The Mini is really fast off the line.
You have a Mini?
I have a Mini.
Oh, cute.
I got the Sport Coupe, and it just takes off like a rocket.
Is it a little rattly?
No.
Because I drove one in L.A. one time.
Really?
This thing would elevate.
Yeah. Really?
Mini
Cooper?
It's pretty solid.
You could take anybody off the line with this thing.
Yeah, we do. We often do.
Maybe. Except for maybe like Shirley Checha Meldoni.
Do you drive stick, Vivian?
I do not. I tried it once and I failed miserably.
Well, driving it once is not someone showing
it. Never did it again.
Someone being patient. Well, that's... Plus, how do you... Unless you have your parents who don't mind possibly having to take it to the mechanic afterwards.
Yeah.
Right?
It did happen with my old Mini.
Driver's Ed. They had sticks in Driver's Ed.
Not now, they don't.
Well, no. They did in 1979.
But Griffin's does not seem interested in taking Driver's Ed. I offered to let him do it over the summer last year. He could have had a learner's permit this entire year because he's 15.
I don't understand. That seems to be the trend.
Yeah, he doesn't mind. Yeah. He doesn't mind not having a car.
I can't live without my car.
Me neither.
I can't.
In our house, we have three. My husband, me, and my mom. We each have a car. I mean, I have a hybrid, huh?
The way you cure that is you don't drive them anywhere.
I don't drive them.
I don't already.
Oh, man.
You want to go to the movie? Sorry.
No, it's well. I have a question, so we're going to take a break here. I have a question. There's a couple. One, I will tell you what's in the box was. And the other question I have is, because you guys just got married last year or in the last 2 years?
Be 2 years of August.
2 years August. I've known you that long already.
Yeah.
I hung out with you at least.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about your registries when you got married. Did you get registered for gifts?
No.
Okay. Because there's something that came up in a registry. I'm going to a wedding, and it is a remarriage for both of them.
Really? And no, we didn't do that.
There's something that was on the registry. I want to know if other people have seen weird registry. Not weird. This isn't crazy out of the ordinary, but I'm like.
Good teaser. Now I'm dying.
Yeah, I'm like,
I want to know.
I'm not buying them a shag bag. More after this on 720 WGN.
Win a chance to fly to Europe and see the puck.
Score!
In Prague. Blackhawks open their new season in October in the Czech Republic against the Flyers.
So far, the hit of the hockey game.
And WGN Radio has a complimentary trip for two to give away. More details today on Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ish Nala. Nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, This is Bob Prosser, owner of Ish Nala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ish Nala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks? Our Ish Nala chefs have prepared your favorites, 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ish Nala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ish Nala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
Hi, folks. Orion again. I'd like to invite you to visit my friends at Gary Lang Cadillac in McHenry. For over a decade, I have trusted the associates at Gary Lang because they are the best in their class. When you visit Gary Lang Cadillac, you can expect their professionals to consider your budget, search their vast Cadillac network, and find the Cadillac to meet your lifestyle. Believe me, whether you're looking for the all-new 2019 XT4, sporty new 2019 XT5, or the elegant new 2019 Escalade, you'll find the right Cadillac at the right price right now with top-of-the-line service you can depend on. Gary Lang Cadillac is conveniently located on Route 31 in McHenry, just minutes from communities like Huntley, Barrington, Libertyville, and Harvard. Or shop their Cadillac lineup online at GaryLangCadillac.com. Oh, and remember, if it doesn't say Gary Lang on the back, you probably paid too much.
Our conversation continues after the news. I want to tell you, Trucker Rich is on hold, and I am so excited because I was in a construction zone and watching these semis swerve through the, you know, whether it was the barrels and then in between these. I was like, I don't know how guys like Trucker Rich do it, but he's on hold. We'll talk to him after the news. Might be the song one of our listeners wanted to know about that. Well, no, it's not that one.
No.
This isn't it.
What we is already this? Resolved that, Patty.
Did we?
We did.
Oh.
It was from the Ambassadors. It was called.
Oh, that's right. It was. Steve tracked it down. It was the Ambassadors.
That's right.
That's right. My husband figured that out for us. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Vivian Leneau is our producer this evening, taking your calls and running the show. We have Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the immediate past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and associate professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her on Twitter at @ktynes. John Culver, attorney at law, practicing personal injury and product liability law. All three of us have teenagers of driving age. How many with licenses? None? Any?
I should have three. I have none.
Then none of them.
Just one of mine so far, but my son is on the cusp of getting his driver's license.
And your requirement is they learn how to drive stick shift. John?
I just want them to learn, get licensed so they can drive and have an ID state issued. I mean, they have passports, but right. I don't want them walking around with their passports.
All right. With some interesting guidelines in your household.
You can't just leave the country.
Well, you can. So I know how to drive. So all three of us also know how to drive stick shift. Vivian, this is something maybe we'll get out on the track one day with you.
I will try.
All right.
I promise.
One in five. John has a number.
I'm pretty good at teaching it.
Hey,
so.
Yeah. I am not. I will not volunteer for that experiment whatsoever. You guys go and have fun.
I can grind them.
There you go. Done that. Trucker Rich joins us. He wants to talk about driving a stick shift, but I also have questions for you after we have this conversation, Trucker Rich. But what are your thoughts on driving stick?
I think if you have a car with a manual transmission, it's never going to be stolen anymore. You know, I help people know how to drive it.
So you can drive an alarm.
I bet they'll go about 3 inches.
Yes! Brilliant observation. I love it.
Yes.
And you know you've mastered a manual transmission when you don't have to use the clutch pedal except stop signs and back.
No, I don't know that.
What?
Driving my semi, I never use the clutch pedal.
Okay. John and I are trying to figure
it out.
Yeah.
Once it starts rolling, you just
feel it
and get up to an RPM and then just take it out of that gear. And if you're going into a higher gear, you just let off the accelerator and let it drop in. If you're going a downshift, you
Oh.
Operatic gear and raise the RPM up, and it'll drop right back in.
Uh-oh, John wants to try this out on someone else's car.
Not, I've never driven a stick enough to do that, but it sounds like a slapstick almost.
Yeah, well, like the old Dodge slapsticks, but yeah, I mean, you have
or like
do
a goat, like the Pontiacs have them, the right. GMs had them.
Hmm. Yeah, well, Chrysler had the true slapstick. I mean, Pontiac had, because I had one in my GTO, you had to push it to the left and pop it that way. But
yeah, the 68 goat with the slapstick, and somebody went to high school with that one.
Huh.
Yeah, I had a 70 GTO convertible with the quote his and hers shifter. Where it had two separate shift gates in the automatic, one for the guy supposedly to shift it manually, and one for the ladies to put it in drive and just mash the gas.
Oh boy, that's insulting.
More sexism from Detroit.
Yeah,
there you go. How nice. That's you notice the vanity mirror in the. What's that thing called that comes down for the shade? The visor. Thank you. Yes, the sun visor. Right. That would only be on the passenger side, right? Because. Yeah. Women were the passengers and the men were the drivers.
You want to look at yourself while you're driving? It's like
at the stoplight, you have to put on some lipstick accident. Or something.
Well,
you
before
know.
Before I got out of the car, I got to check for bats in the cave. I'm just saying, you don't get out of the car without checking.
Sure,
you gotta take a look. Trucker Rich, I have to ask you where. So, are you driving through what states have you been driving through lately? Are you through Illinois?
I drive from. Out west of Rochelle to LaPorte, Indiana.
Okay.
And back every night.
Because I was on 55 last night driving to Pontiac, and I wanted to know if you happen to be on 55 where it's right in Pontiac, actually, where you have to make a decision. And I'm like, did I miss the option to get off or go to the left? Like, it's one of those things that popped up all of a sudden, and I didn't know which way to go, so I went to the right, and then it was the wrong choice, and then I couldn't get back on the highway. I don't know how truckers maneuver. That seems like a very sharp place. The way they divide it there seems very sudden.
All roads lead to the prison.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of like that when you're getting off 88 on a 294. It's like two lanes, and as soon as you get off, it's one lane. You either got to go left or you got to get off on, what is it, York Road, I think it is. I'm not sure, but you got to immediately get
in 22nd. Yeah, I know
what you're talking
about.
Got to immediately get into the left lane to keep going on the 294, and it's just a thing, you know.
It's just a thing. Just, you know,
sounds
hoping.
It's dangerous. Yeah. Oh, well, my goodness.
That's why you should stay out of the suburbs.
Yeah. And you were talking about barrels. Now, I used to haul oversized loads, and one day, this has been about 12 years ago. No, maybe more than that, 15. When they were doing the new prison extension there at Joliet.
Right.
The company I worked for, sells. And we were 15 foot wide on a low boy trailer. Now that's not, if you know trailers are down lower to the ground,
right?
And they're doing repaving on 80, and we had permits to go down 80, but it was one lane, you know, in construction.
Okay.
And I personally knocked over 7.5 miles of orange barrels on the left and right of my truck.
I mean, at some point you just go, well, this is happening.
Yeah. Fred, what are you going to do, back up?
Thrill of a lifetime.
And so what was the funny part about it is I called in to my boss and dispatcher and says, check our permits. Because I said, I've just wiped out 7.5 miles of orange barrels.
Oh, boy. What are you going
to
do?
And they called the state. And the state says, yeah, they're supposed to be set at 16 foot wide.
Oh,
so that was,
because, you know, but they didn't put them wide enough. And the funny part was, is as soon as I knocked them down, there was a guy come up behind us, putting them back up. And there was another truck 20 minutes behind me that knocked them down again.
So that's job security is what you're talking about.
Another make work project.
There you go.
So that was, so that's what you call bowling for truckers.
Yeah, well, that's what we actually called it. And then it became a game.
Then you just went up and down, up and down a couple times.
Yeah.
You missed one. You missed that one.
Hey, I shouldn't say this, but then it became a challenge to see if you get close enough to the barrel
and not
to knock off the yellow light and not tip the barrel over.
Oh, man. That's precision truck driving right there.
Oh, boy. I love it, Trucker Rich. But, yeah, I was thinking about you today when I was, there. I mean, I don't know how you guys manage those really narrow spots where there's construction and just a cement barrier on one side, or cement barriers on both sides. I would be white knuckling it all the time.
I don't like it where they put us in the right lanes of constructions and you're driving half on the shoulder and half off because it's not, doesn't give you room to wiggle, but, it's something you learn to do. You know, it's just like jumping out of a small car and getting into, like, say, you're running, like, you drove, tongue tied here.
That's all right.
You you drove the station's full-size van in parades, right?
Yes.
It's just like getting out of a small car, because I think I've heard you say you have a Honda Civic, and then you jump in the station's van.
Right.
It's just that you learn how to do it.
Here's the thing about
a few curbs, a few stop signs, and you get it.
Well, not just that. Well, I mean, and this obviously you have a different situation and a different setup. The fan van, the WGN fan van, which is sadly, and I apologize to Norwood Park, it is not going to be ready for the Memorial Day parade this coming Monday, but it will be in the Pride Parade, and I will be driving it in the 4th of July parade in Evanston and Skokie. But it's wrapped, so I cannot see out the back window or the side window. So I can't use any rear view mirror. I can only use the driver's and passenger side windows. I had a police officer. I stopped at an AutoZone to pick up a light for, I believe it was one of the lights in the back was out. And a police officer actually stopped. It was CPD. And he came up to me and goes, because he's WGN. I mean, you just see this massive van. So, and he came over and he knew I was driving down to Springfield. I had talked about it on the show. I was driving down during the budget crisis, and it was the sweetest conversation. He helped me line my side view mirrors up so I could see everything, and he walked me through.
How
like
sweet.
It was amazing. He thanked me for going to Springfield, and he was really sweet. It was really nice. But yeah, I can't. I have no rear view mirror.
That does not sound safe.
It didn't feel safe.
No.
I can only go forward.
Oh my goodness.
Only no parallel parking with that thing.
I get nervous if I have balloons in the car or something and I can't see my rear view mirror,
Yep, no, I know.
Oh my goodness.
Well, Trucker Rich, you be safe tonight. I hope the weather's not too severe where you are.
No, it's not raining yet over here, so.
No, but just wait.
Yeah, I've been driving a semi for, can't do the math, but since 1980. I got my semi license when I was in the Army.
Right.
They told me to go down to the motor pool and get a truck and a trailer and some straps because I was going to haul bombs.
Oh.
And I said, I don't have a license. I said, I don't have a license. And they says, well, if you make it back, we'll give you one.
Wow.
Trial by fire. Trial by bomb. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But what they didn't tell me, and I didn't know at the time, was you got to have the fuse in the bombs before they'll explode.
Oh, okay.
If there's no fuse in it, it'll just roll over and just bounce down the road. But
yeah, that's good information to have.
Yeah, you couldn't have proved that by me.
Yeah,
right.
So,
everything after that probably seems really easy.
Yeah, no kidding.
So no wonder why you have nerves of steel when you're driving your big truck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there's no TNT on board. We're fine.
Yeah, just light a few, throw a few matches back there and see if it explodes, But anyway.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Flick that smoke way away.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, have a great night. Right. Have a great night, sir.
You too.
Love hearing from you, Trucker Rich. Take care.
Bye-bye.
I was talking about my friends who are getting married. It's a second marriage for both of them, and they have registered. I was surprised by one of the items. Not surprised, it's not a big deal. It just made me laugh. Everyone in my house was laughing because it's a sleeping bag, but it's a double sleeping bag. So there's it's open in the middle so you can sleep together. I don't know if you can see it.
Aww.
And it's cute, right? I don't know if
romantic.
You can see it. I guess can't get it all the way around, but it's a 2-for-1 sleeping bag so you can snuggle. But I also said, I'm not sure if it's for them to have relations in when they go camping. and Steve and my husband
clearly
goes,
they don't have any small kids in the tent with them.
Right.
It's not when I'm thinking a tufa.
but my husband goes, so what, you don't feel comfortable buying them a shag bag? But so I was
a shag bag.
But I was wondering if there were any sort of other quirky registries, but we don't have enough time to get into it. But one of our listeners, my text screen just popped off. I don't know what I did there by turning it around. Here it is. A texter wrote in that they I didn't even see all these texts that came in after that, but there was a wedding planner. I'm a wedding registry consultant, and my favorite is when couples only register for two dinner plates for dishes because they don't like other people, and I've had it happen more than once.
Wow. Talk about antisocial, my goodness.
I know. So we'll find another night when we can talk about other wedding registries, because it is coming upon the wedding mm-hmm. season. And hey, Paul's awake. Bats in the cave. Yes, I have to check for bats in the cave. And no, I'm not upset about anything. I didn't have the text screen open. I was looking at the registry. Before we go to the break, I know I promised that I would tell you what's in the boxes, because it's not part of Tell Me Something Good, because it's a past something fun.
But is it something good in the box? Maybe we can.
Depends on what you guess.
What fits in there?
So I was, you know, as a comic, you're kind of, you're open to the world of possibilities when it comes to topics. And I stumbled across, well, I was also, let's be honest, I was shopping on Amazon. And I was tickled to discover about 15 years ago that that people are very honest in their reviews when it comes to adult toys on Amazon. They do sell them on Amazon. And very specific, the ones that I loved were especially women in the military who would talk about, like, the ones that were quiet and fast, they had to get done because you're sharing a bunk. And I had this idea of, like, maybe sending these women, like, a gift package with batteries.
Done by 0600.
Exactly. And so I always had it in my mind, and I talked about it on stage. And then when I got the show a few years ago, and a friend, Dr. Charles Turk, who's a regular on the show, said I should write a book and get Amazon's permission to use these reviews to help teach men what women look for. Cause these reviews can be very in depth to tell you what they like, what they don't like, what they like stimulated, all these things. But I thought, well, what if we did, like, I told Todd, I said, what if we did sort of these theatrical readings of the reviews, right? Maybe we did it as sort of an artistic interpretation of the reviews. And he wasn't really thrilled with that idea, but he did. He, by the way, cracks
me up. As long as they're not acting them out, I think it would be okay.
Right. No, so what we did.
Do an English accent or something.
So what we did was, so Todd said, well, maybe there's a way to use these reviews in a sort of, in a game. You know, maybe a contest for listeners. And so we came up with the idea that we would read the reviews from both the adult toys and from appliances. So I would call reviews that looked like they could also be a review for an adult toy, like for maybe for a blender or a toaster. And it would say things like, heats up too fast, right? Makes too much noise. Smells like plastic, you know, those kinds of
things. Oh my goodness.
Gets the job done. So the listeners had to guess if it was an appliance, if the review was for an appliance or an appliance.
That is so funny.
And the ones that cracked me up the most were people who tried to, like, really guess which a product it was.
Oh.
You know, which could be anything from, oh, I think that's a bullet. Or a bullet.
Oh,
see,
because
a blender. Yes.
Okay.
Or a waffle iron.
Exactly.
Nice.
Sounds like a waffle iron. Or, you know, that sounds like a rabbit I had once. More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
I can't tell you something good. Our guest, John, you're having a Charlie. Is it a Charlie horse? Do you want to describe your pain to us?
Oh, it's just a straight up cramp in the back of my thigh.
Oh man, I wake up with those sometimes, and it is the most excruciating thing. I was trying to find a video on YouTube of how to alleviate the pain. And I don't want to leave you hanging here. If anybody, we'll have all kinds of people calling it with symptoms. I mean, or
I'm just
solutions.
Glad it's the radio.
Yeah. I'll turn your mic off if you want to go scream and cuss somewhere else.
The contortions are amusing, is all I can say. Yeah. That's what a loving wife would say, right?
But it's still bad TV.
I'm trying to, but you know what's funny? There are tons of videos on how to get rid of mostly calves, because we get a lot of those.
Charlie horses,
right. Spasming, nodding, but I can't find one just for the thigh. What's the most effective? I'm trying to find a video for you, John. This is how I solve all my problems.
A massage would probably do it.
Wiggle your toes. Can you wiggle your toes? A listener asks if you can wiggle your toes to help alleviate the pain. Just wiggle them.
How could anyone tell?
Take your shoe off and wiggle your toes. Do it! We're live streaming.
I'm not wearing shoes.
Take your wiggle your toes. All right, 312-981.
I give you a massage, but you haven't taken me out to dinner first. Honey.
So that's your doctor wife.
And my cramp went away.
Oh man, how you feeling? I feel badly.
I'm all right.
I hate going through.
JC, Johnny Cramp.
I will. My something good is the wonderful group that I spoke to today at Futures Unlimited, A Bridge to Independence. It's a wonderful organization that helps adults with disabilities with developmental training, community employment and job placement, vocational training, facility-based employment, community living support services, home-based support services. And I was asking them, because they all are so passionate about the work they do, I was wondering if they have people that move to Pontiac in order to have their children or adult children involved in their programs. And I want to tell you how you can get involved to support them and also make your garden beautiful. They have seed balls. That's S-E-E-D balls, B-A-L-L-Z. So seed balls. And they have, I keep making that mistake. And they laughed when I made the mistake earlier too. So don't you all get mad.
Wait till we're done here.
Seed balls. And so you can drop and grow balls of seed that are hand rolled and packaged by adults with disabilities. They contain non-GMO seeds, organic matter, and cascade materials. They're perfect for your lawns, gardens, and planters. You can go to seedballs.com. That's SEEDBALLZ.com. You can also find them locally at farmers markets and other community events. You can also find them at Navy Pier and local businesses and novelty shops. So look for their speed. Their seed.
Oh, my goodness.
They are so fast, too.
Seed.
Oh,
and they grow so, you know, again, I made the mistake with them and they laughed. So everyone, it's all okay. So they also have, they have ones for your garden, for your lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, your onions. Go to their website and find out more. And then they have beautiful flowers, your wildflower mix, which they gave me a gift of today. So thank you so much for that. I wish that they're, hydrate apparently is one of the things that you have to do. Also some tonic with quinine.
Yeah.
Does quinine really help?
Yeah, it does, right, actually. So. It's not terribly safe, although the amount you get in tonic water is okay. But they used to we used to give out quinine tablets to people, and it can cause toxicity.
How about with vodka?
We don't do that anymore. I think that's really what he needs right now. Especially if you could see the way he's moving in the studio here. It is quite amusing. Ugh, I'm so sorry the listeners
You're amused. I feel bad and uncomfortable that you're amused.
It's self-induced, okay?
I'm reveling in the sympathy over here.
You're a trooper.
Well, Doc, as your husband rise in pain, what is your something good?
Oh, my something good is I went to see The Who last night with my two children, and it was a blast. It was freezing cold, but the music was excellent.
Sorry.
My kids, you know, were singing along, and it was just wonderful to see my generation with the next generation.
Oh, that's who sings that?
Yeah.
Is The Who? Okay.
People try to put us down.
This is The Who. Now I'll know that. Yeah. I will remember that.
It was awesome.
I hate to ask you, amazing, and I'm sorry it was so chilly last night, but it sounds like you had a great time, too. John, do you have something good to tell us while you struggle with your eye cramp?
I bowl tonight at Timber Lanes. The bowling league is awesome. It's Marigold Misfits. They used to bowl at Marigold Lanes before they were torn down on Grace and Broadway in Boys Town near the ballpark. Great group of folks. I bowled pretty well for once, finally. And our banquet's next week. And then into June, my son Marcus graduates from high school, which is super exciting.
Yay.
And then,
that's awesome.
You know, we are on the summer shortly. And I guess the other thing is I'm having an annual party on Sunday, a barbecue, and it's...
I'm excited.
If the weather cooperates, it'll be great, and if it doesn't, it'll be great anyway.
There you go, because we have inside, right? We can go inside. Are we allowed inside your house?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. We're screening, but yes, I think so.
I have one of those tents. I can bring one of those big canopies.
Oh, good.
You know, I will have a canopy over the porch. It fits over it quite nicely.
Perfect.
And it's been done in the past, and you can stand by the keg and stay dry.
Excellent. And Vivian, I won't see you till
next week sometime.
So have a wonderful weekend. What's your something good before I throw the
My boyfriend's coming in this weekend.
Yay
George is coming.
Yay!
And it's also my mom's birthday on Memorial Day, so looking forward to celebrate her.
Wonderful.
Got a big weekend.
Yay. Well, have a great weekend. Let me take a break here, then news, and Nick D takes over in just a moment on 720 WGN.